Robinhood Radio presents Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willems. Michelle is a longtime journalist and herself is a published playwright of several theatrical works. She's a frequent contributor to the Huffington Post, Daily Beast, and the Atlantic websites.
Well, I always like to start with any substantive news in the theater world, as well as reporting on the numerous streamings out there, almost all of which deal with two paramount crises of this moment, the pandemic, of course, and how and where people are doing their isolating, and Black Lives Matter. At this point, I dare any theater company not to at least touch and reflect on one or both of those issues. But first, any news? Well, in your neck of the woods, the Barrington Stage Company was just about to open the one-man play Harry Clark inside, with all kinds of pandemic precautions prepared. Nope, the state of Massachusetts is insisting the show must go on outside under a tent. So be it. And let's see, across the ocean, a mini crisis of another kind. Last week, I reported on my travails in nabbing a ticket to the Old Vic's latest so-called live production, starring Andrew Scott of Fleabag fame. Well, after being told that I was 10,000 in line, you might recall, I finally got myself a so-called seat. Well, now a few days ago, we received news that Andrew Scott has been hospitalized. Not COVID, by the way. They say he plans on returning this week, so hold that hope as I hold on to my ticket. As for what I watched this past week, most of which can be rewatched on YouTube or a company's site, one of the most creative was called While I Breathe. Those were short original plays, or scenes, more accurately, by and about Black issues. It's timely, lines like, "The street was crackling with revolution. I got pulled over in my car and he already had his gun drawn. He's dead and they still cuffed him." Yes, this is tough stuff to hear, but it rings true. While I Breathe can be found on YouTube, I assume, or through Telecharge. And your hoped-for support goes to a number of civil rights organizations. The acting is excellent and includes Patina Miller, who fans of the TV series Madam Secretary, and I Was One, will recognize. My other recommended stream is the latest presentation of The Theater of War, which may get my pandemic nomination for Best Company during this period. Its presentations portray scenes from classic Greek works by first-rate actors. Amy Ryan is in the latest cast of four, followed by a discussion with healthcare workers, specifically on how they relate to those words of old. The current one is simply called Theater of War for Frontline Medical Providers. And speaking of resonant, these scenes take us inside the minds and egos of the likes of Ajax, Odysseus, and Apollo. You may think you were reading that day's New York Times with sentiments like, "He takes pleasure in the evil that infects him. You are right, he has come unhinged. A divine madness has poisoned his mind." Again, you get the idea. The discussions after the performances are instructive and touching, and never let us forget those who are saving lives while risking their own. I also watched an interesting discussion via the Atlantic Theater Company. This one was on the creating of The Secret Lives of Bees, its recent musical adaptation of the popular novel. Lynn Nottage, the playwright, participated alongside director Sam Gold, as well as the composing team. Here, too, the timing is relevant. It's amazing to think where we were in 1964 when the story takes place, and where we are now, said Nottage. Very similar struggles. The conversation is interesting and instructive regarding process, especially these days. And it doesn't ignore real issues like how the company dealt with doing a play that is basically about Black people, but with a non-Black leading character. "We didn't want to do another piece about a white savior," says Nottage. The Atlanta conversations are weekly and remain on its site. Now, a lot is coming up this week, so here goes. Something called Theater Breaking Through Barriers, presented by Theater Row, will live Zoom 8 plays this week. These can be found at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time on YouTube, and all deal with characters living with disabilities. Sounds intriguing and always a good reminder what courage really looks like. You may recall when I discussed the living room plays last week, which were presented by the Eden Theater Company. Well, now we are ready for the company's bathroom plays. This premieres Thursday, that's August 6th, just in case you need dates like I do, at 8 o'clock Eastern Time, and will remain watchable after on YouTube or the company's site. And speaking of rooms, on Friday, August 7th, you might check out the Weston Playhouse website. It will be offering newly commissioned works by an interesting array of 14 playwrights, with directors and actors included. The theme is called One Room, but the smallest room of all may be in a show or thing called The Seventh Voyage of Egon Tishy, an adaptation of a space age tale, which is performed in what is essentially a closet. The writer is Josh Luxenberg, the performer Joshua William Gelb, and this claustrophobic sounding story runs 35 minutes. It can be found on Gelb's website. And look up the Pandemic Players Beyond Therapy, which will offer a program called Two by Irish, available for streaming August 7th at 1 p.m. One of the playwrights is Sean O'Casey, who's a familiar name. And I don't know about you, but on Wednesday at 7 p.m., I will be streaming On Borrowed Time, put on by the Two River Theater, which is based in New Jersey. And at the same time, the following night for part two. This is a 1939 play considered a forgotten classic about a small boy and his grandfather. Now, Joel Grey played the young boy all those years ago. And guess what? He's directing this one. Yes, at the age of 88. The cast is definitely worth mentioning. Blair Brown, Michael Cumstey, Bill Irwin, B.B. Newworth, Philippa Sue, and Sam Waterston. I don't know. How do you beat that one? And it benefits the Actors Fund, so all good. So there you have another week, Jill, where the entertainment largely remains inside and online, at least for the foreseeable future.
So I have a question that is slightly outside your bailiwick, but it is relevant. There was a piece, I'm not going to mention the network, it was very poorly done, however, and it was yesterday, and it had to be done by less experienced people, and the essence of the piece was, gee, do you know that everybody doesn't have broadband? And the essence was 50% of the country at least does not have internet that's going to allow anyone to stream anything.
Really?
Mm-hmm. So okay, so
I've
there.
Heard that.
So what I'm apropos, shall we call it the divide that is so frequently discussed?
Yeah.
You know, and I believe that there is an assumption, obviously, within certain systems and segments that you don't even think of that, right? I mean, it's just inconceivable that you couldn't Zoom. It's inconceivable that you couldn't blah blah. Now, I happen to have just been tornadoed, so my internet's just back at my house.
Yeah, I'll say you've got to hurt. I'm coming, yeah.
Well, forgetting that, we already had a tornado. So the issue is that there is a whole lot of taking for granted going on. Now, I'm not saying that these are people that are necessarily, that would be running to Broadway anyway. I'm not saying, but I am saying that, hey, you know, there's a big wide world out there. There was a reason that shows went on the road, etc. And people should be aware, and I'm sure that they are, but that they're playing to a relatively confined audience, not just because of the pandemic, because certainly there are many people who are going to continue loving working this way. When I say working, communicating, etc. in this way.
Yeah, absolutely. And as we know, theater comes in a distant third to television and films anyway, in terms of how many people watch them and enjoy that world. That is interesting. You know, as I've been writing a little bit about schools, I'm out in L.A. now, but I'm heading back to New York in a few days. You know, the big issue is, of course, schools. Do kids go back? Don't they go back? And, you know, the truth is, because I've talked to groups that that go to help kids in various homes, a lot of them, now we're talking about poorer areas, are disadvantaged. They don't have computers, not even computers. Now, out here in L.A., apparently every school is making sure there was some kind of thing set up. So every single school, if not household, is, you know, does have availability to get online. But, yeah, we take a lot of this stuff for granted. You know, people, there are kids who live in shelters who go to schools, but they don't have internet, broadband. Why, what would they know from broadband, you know? So, yeah, I think, and you know, a lot of young people these days, well, I guess they can still, but I mean, they're not buying long, a big, you know, they're not buying, what do you call the big packages that a lot of people that we used to buy. You get HBO, you get, they're buying one thing like YouTube. And they say they can watch everything on YouTube. So the whole thing is changing. And theater's done pretty well in terms of making sure that most of their work goes on YouTube. Maybe yes. With that in mind.
But the issue around that, and this is a whole mental thing that I, in my view, not enough people focus on, is that really puts you at the mercy of the a la carte.
Yeah.
In other words, someone has to decide that they want to see what you're offering. To go find it, and that's harder than if it's just there. Because if something is just there, you start hearing about it, or you go see. It's a completely different. You know, overly simplistic. If you go shopping for a pair of shoes, that's a very specific thing, and we have designed people's brains at this juncture to do that.
Absolutely. And like I said, most people, I mean, obviously we're talking to a small audience, and I don't mean we, I mean anybody who's talking about theater by definition. How many people in the country know who Lynn Nottage is? You know, how many people, you know where the Two River Theater is? Well, they do if they live in New Jersey. But, I mean, it's a very small but important, for New York City, it's a hugely important economic boom, obviously, and necessity. Other cities, not so much. I'm in L.A. now. Theater's become a lot more popular, and little ones have popped up, and they're doing a great job. But, you know, it's still not a – theater is theater. It's never going to be the big thing. And
no, theater's never going to be mainstream in that way, but it's just something that is part of – the arts, and a lot of people who have done well on Broadway have come out of places that you wouldn't necessarily go, oh yes, that's the first, you know, they come out of, in a lot of cases, small town. I'm thinking right now about Kristen Chenoweth. You know, you come out of a town, and you've got someone who is absolutely committed, devoted to nurturing that talent and that ability.
And I always think, and I think of Kristen Chenoweth, and I think of Audra McDonald, who came out of, I believe, Sacramento. And you think, God, yeah, maybe they get to Juilliard eventually, but, or Laura Linney. I mean, these people, well, obviously they have to have the drive, but it's unbelievable where they come from and how they make it to the top, you know. It is phenomenal, but the people are born with that love of either singing or dancing or performing, and they know, and they find their audiences. But yeah, it's, I wish everybody could watch what I'm watching, but, hell, you know, I don't think anybody wants to get up at 2 a.m. to watch the old Vic with me or whatever time it's going to be on, you know.
Do you know what?
My time.
Do you know what? And I just remember doing this in my youth. If it's something you're interested in, then that just should be the that should not remotely be a bar. I was like,
exactly.
Yeah, that's totally cool. I'm gonna it's like watching a comet. I'm sorry, it doesn't appear during your schedule.
Right.
So
you set your alarm and you get up and you watch it. And I'll set my alarm, and if it's 2:30 a.m. for me, but it's, you know, it's their matinee, fine. You know, I want to see Andrew Scott. Do most people know who Andrew Scott is? Do most people know what Fleabag is? I'm guessing not. Broadband or not. But anyway, hopefully you don't get a hurricane. And you're very lucky out there. You are getting outdoor. Well, you will get outdoor theater a lot before we will.
Stage Right or Not with Michelle Willens, produced in the studios of Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com.